Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Yeah. Mason, Ireland, what are you guys doing? It is, oh, by the way, more and more people, I wanted to mention this, more and more people listening to us on their smart speakers at home, whether it's Siri or it's Alexa or it is an Echo Dot. You can, all you got to do is say play ESPN Los Angeles and up we pop, so you can do it right in your living room and check that out. And I'm not sure if we've got our next guest or not.
No, we're getting him at 4 o'clock, okay, top of the hour. But we do have some voicemails that have come through on the voicemail line, 530-377-6710. If it's easier for you to remember, 530-ESPN-710. Funch, what do we got today?
Hey, tell that gardener to cut that weed whacker off. I'm trying to hear the Mason Ireland show. Go tell him now. Mason Ireland show.
Okay.
Not a lot of work went into that.
There are things I like about that. There are things I like. I like the repeated use of our names. I think that is the strength of that jingle.
All right,
I'm not sure
else?
What the weed whacker thing is. I'm not sure what's going on there.
He's trying to appeal to your growing up in a trailer background, I think.
Oh, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Mace in Ireland. It's catchy.
Hey, guys. This is Gabe. I'm a teacher here working from home. Big fan. Listen every day. Forever. Anyways, I recall that you guys used to play a game, kind of like a name that tune, name that song game on Fast Track. I haven't heard that in a while. But I always hated listening to that because you guys played it so incorrectly. You always played a song, and then whoever said their name first would say who the artist was, which is so obvious and so easy. It's like, well, yeah, that's Bono. Of course, we know his voice. The real way to play that song is to name the name of the song. So when you play that game, it's name the name of the song. If you guys can maybe bring that back, maybe update it, that would be awesome.
That's interesting.
Great to listen to you guys every day.
I disagree.
Thanks, man. Name the name of the song.
It'd be too hard.
Tough.
It'd be too hard.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be hard. These are important
games.
I think I would
do fine.
Name the name of the song. We should try it.
As long as we don't play it with Sliwa, you know?
Yeah, no, we got no chance.
Sliwa would say something along the lines of, oh, yeah, I know that's YouTube, but I don't know the name of anything.
I'll do the one for tomorrow, name the name of the song.
All right.
We'll do that.
Funch, what do you got?
Hi, Mason Ireland. I just want to tell you, you know, I was never a big Kobe fan. I was always angry at him for getting checked, went out of town. And I'm not a big Michael Jordan fan either. I wish you guys would talk a little bit more about the NFL draft, not so much about Kobe and Michael Jordan. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Well, we are going to talk about it. We'll carry the NFL draft on Thursday. We're not what you would call draft Knicks. And I had a hell of a time putting together a top 20. Did you do a mock draft, John?
I did.
And how did it come out?
It's fine. Do you think that was a good idea?
Sure, why not? It's a little action. You get a point for each one. Who's going to win the draft?
Yeah,
how'd you put us all in a competition.
How'd you put yours together?
All right, so I actually used a lot of trades. So I've got Miami trading up to the 3 to get Tua. I've got San Diego trading up to the 5 to get Justin Herbert.
Okay, you know that you didn't need to put the teams.
The way they showed me was I had to put the teams.
No, they just wanted the names. You get a point if the guy goes in the spot you pick. Like, for example, if Tua goes third, you get points.
Well, I'm going to release my mock. This is mock 3.0. I'm going to release it tomorrow when we go
on
the air.
Wait, when was mock 1.0 and 2.0?
I kept those to myself. This is mock 3.0, and this is the final mock that I do. I will release it tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The station's putting it together. I have studied a lot of film. Studied a lot of film to get ready for this, John. By the way, very deep in wide receivers. I've got 4 wide receivers going in the first round.
Hey, you know what? That makes me think maybe I could put something together like for tomorrow on Fast Track where we could like, you know, bet on like bet some mythical money on like, okay, who's the first wide receiver that's going to go and how many wide receivers are going to go in the first round, like stuff like that. You know, because, I mean, the Rams don't have a pick until the second round. So
yeah, they got two second-round picks.
Some kind of, like, rooting interest in it, you know?
Now, the draft is Thursday. It starts at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
Are we going to have the ability to take picks? Yeah, I guess we can just take the TV live.
We just take ESPN,
Yeah.
By the way, I've got Denver trading up to the 8 spot and taking Jerry Jeudy and keeping him away from the Raiders.
Oh, I never thought the Raiders were going to get Jerry Jeudy. I'd rather have the Raiders take Henry Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs is exactly, let's see, no, they've got two picks, right?
12 and 18.
Right. Yeah, I've got him taking Henry Ruggs the third at 12, and I've got him taking cornerback Christian Fulton at 19.
They need both. They need receivers and corners, and Ruggs is the fastest receiver in the draft.
Yeah,
and isn't Jeudy the guy who got like a 9 on the Wunderlich?
Yeah, Jeudy. Yeah, but I don't care. Run fast, catch ball.
Yeah, if you need to be, I mean, the people who create the Wunderlich say if you score under 10, you're functionally illiterate.
Yeah, run fast, catch ball. There it is.
Yeah, you need to know how to read the freeway signs to get to the stadium. All right.
Yeah, I mean, there's some positions where I think it might matter more. Like quarterback, I think it might matter more. You got to have the game in your head to some degree. But wide receiver, run fast, catch ball. That's really it. Mm-hmm. Well, carry so ball, run
that,
hard.
Yeah,
running
how'd
back.
Go, how'd that go for Brandon Cooks last year on your Rams?
Run fast, catch ball, get concussion. That's what it was with Jared Cooks. That's why he's not here anymore.
So Ruggs is so fast, they won't be able to hit him. So that's why I hope the Raiders get Ruggs.
So have you released your mock draft yet, John?
Yeah, well, I sent it to Tommy.
I released mine with teams, by the way.
Yeah, you're the only one who did.
Yeah,
mine is
teams. Yeah, no, I took mine really seriously. I work harder. That's my thing. I work harder than everybody.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be shown when we have this draft contest. I'm sure you nailed it. All right, joining us right now, and he's been on the show before, and we always enjoy talking to Gautam Chopra. He's been involved in Tom versus Time. His company was involved in Shut Up and Dribble. He did the movie Muse with Kobe Bryant, and he's got a new podcast and nice enough to join us now. Gautam, how are you holding up in these troubling times?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm staying super productive. I mean, you know, there are worse places in the world to be holed up than the west side of LA. So,
sure.
You know, I am like kind of wondering, okay, what does the other side of this thing look like and when does it start like everyone else? But, you know, also just thinking about everyone who, you know, got it much harder than I do, for sure.
So, Gautam, how surprised are you that Gronk wound up in Tampa with Tom?
Oh, man. I mean, my phone has been lit up the last... not surprised. I mean, not totally surprised, because I did know through my sources that he wanted to play, but there was only one person he wanted to play with. And so that was the only way he was coming back. And, you know, I guess from the Patriots' perspective, they get something out of it also. So, but man, I mean, provided there is an NFL season, it's going to be pretty fun down there in Tampa.
Gautam, you did Tom versus Time with Brady. You own a production company with him. How surprised were you that he decided to leave New England, or did you expect it after spending as much time as you did with Tom?
Yeah, I've gotten pretty close to Tom, so I mean, I definitely could sense it. I mean, it just felt like that as much. And by the way, I'm a huge Patriots fan. Grew up there, etc. So, you know, I've loved every aspect of it as a fan, but I could definitely tell by Tom, like, you know, by being close to Tom, it was coming to an end. I do think, even though he intimated it to me, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, the fan's perspective was like, no, at the end they'll figure it out, and how could he leave, and it doesn't make any sense to go anywhere else. But, you know, he was, yeah. So I think he just felt like that phase of his life was done, and it was time to move on, and he wasn't ready to give up. He still wanted to play, still felt like he could play. So trust me, I put in a lot of effort trying to get him to become a Charger, but, you know, would have made my life easier. But I think he's in the right place for him at this point in his life.
So have you gotten a chance to look at The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary?
I did. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm big fans of pretty much everyone, including, you know, guys at Mandalay and Mike Tolan and everything. So I'd seen, you know, pieces have been floating around for a while, but I'd seen bits and pieces. But yeah, I, of course, like everyone else, watched on Sunday and just loved it. I will say I loved episode two more than I loved episode one. And I think, you know, Michael is such a, and trust me, with Kobe, you know, I've dealt with my fair share, but Michael's clearly a really hard subject track. And I felt like Michael, both then and now, managing the Scottie Pippen situation was really interesting. Watching him try to navigate that, Michael's really tough. He just doesn't give you much of an opening there.
We're talking to Gautam Chopra, who has done some of the best television you will ever see with a lot of great athletes, has worked with Tom Brady, has worked with LeBron's company, has worked with Steph Curry. And you mentioned, Gautam, that you got very close to Kobe when you did the Kobe movie. For people that don't know, and we had Gautam on a lot while this was going on, they cut one movie in which they interviewed a whole bunch of people about Kobe. And when they showed it to him, Kobe said, "Now I want to go a different road." And the finished product that you guys put out, Gautam, the only person that talked was Kobe. So you're uniquely qualified to answer this question. We've got all this video now. I don't know if you own it. I don't know if Kobe Inc. owns it. But you know it exists and you've seen it. We've got all this video of other people talking about Kobe. And the last 2 years of Kobe's career, I'm in the traveling party. There were cameras following us everywhere. There has to be just hours and hours of stuff with Kobe behind the scenes. Do you think now we'll ever see it? In light of the tragic death of Kobe and in light of the fact that long-form documentaries have come back, do you think it may be 5 years from now, and maybe 20 years from now, like The Last Dance. But do you think it ever comes out, or were you guys under orders that the project you did was the final project and that's it?
No, I mean, look, I think you just identified all the component parts there, and there's a lot of stuff that exists. Kobe was every, you know, bit the shrewd businessman that Michael was. I, you know, read the article Ramona published over the weekend about the origins of the Michael project, The Last Dance. And, you know, part of it was Michael controlled that footage with the NBA, of course, but neither party could do anything with it without the other party. And Kobe made sure, you know, there was a level of control that he exercised. You know, he's no longer with us, but his estate is. And so I think the other thing that Michael did is he waited, you know, and time kind of immortalized that project and him, even though he is still with us. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of material. I mean, I know the stuff I filmed, and a lot of it's great. I mean, you know, and we've talked about it, but, you know, there's stuff from Gina, there's stuff from Vanessa, there's stuff from Powell and Phil, and just like so many amazing people on Kobe. So I think it'll someday, you know, I'd like to think it'll live. I just don't know what the timeline is.
How tough is it? Because you've done this. You've done this, obviously, with Muse, and I know you cut an initial version of Muse with all those different voices and with all those different people. How tough is it to take what is essentially, you know, a couple thousand hours of footage and carve it down into a 10-piece documentary?
Oh, man, it's really hard. I think it simplifies when you find that, what do you want to say? What are you trying to say? And all of a sudden, even stuff that's really great, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not part of the story you're, you know, want to tell, or you can tell in 3 hours or however much time you have. I can, you know, not just with Kobe, but I went through this with Shut Up and Dribble. Like, we just had stuff that was so great on Shaq, on Barkley, on the Fab Five, that was part of, you know, that we filmed and we put together, but we couldn't fit it into the 3 hours. Plus, it just didn't really, you know, wasn't 100% aligned with what we were trying to say. I think that becomes your guiding light, and you have to find, you know, those narrative threads and then just follow them and be, you know, the expression you use is killing babies, and you have to kill things that are really precious to you, but it's the only way to sort of come out the other side.
We're talking to Gautam Chopra, who is an excellent documentarian filmmaker and also, of course, the son of Deepak. It seems like your dad, Gautam, is on TV almost every day. Thank God, lending a medical voice to everything we're going through. So you have a unique perspective on this. Where is your level of optimism on sports? You're a giant sports fan. We, Mason and I, talk every single day about how we might eventually get sports back. We know it'll happen one day. We just don't know when. What's your level of optimism that we might see professional sports anytime soon?
Oh, man. I could, you know, be with you guys for the next hour on this. Look, I'm very optimistic. There will be sports, and not just because, you know, there's so many sports fans, and not just because, you know, there's a lot of money at stake in all of these leagues, but because, I mean, I think we've all felt it, even if you're not a huge sports fan, what the absence of sports. I mean, it's how we measure our seasons. It's how we define our cities. It's how we come together as a community. I'm not even a Dodgers fan, and yet I miss the Dodgers so much because of what it means to this city, you know, and pulling people from every walk of life. So I think sports will play a very prominent part of the rebuild, and not just because it'll give us something to do. I mean, you know, I'm missing the NBA playoffs like you guys right now, who would occupy all my time. But, you know, I think just in terms of what it means to us as a culture, and really this is across the planet, I think, you know, sports will be, look, it takes a level of coordination. So I think that's probably the time safety, but ultimately it will be back and it'll be a big part of, like, you know, the rebuild on the other side of this.
So Gautam, your dad, Deepak, plays a huge role in my life because every single day I listen to a meditation, with your dad, and with Oprah Winfrey together. And you've now got a new podcast with your dad called Now for Tomorrow, exercises that you can practice now to make tomorrow better, that I've been listening to. Tell everybody what it is.
Yeah, thank you for giving me that opportunity. But I'm also going to tell you, you can't let me go until I have one Kobe story I want to tell you.
Oh, do it.
For sure.
Side
of that. For sure.
But,
yeah,
but
go
do
the
Now for Tomorrow podcast that we created with my dad. And, you know, basically, like you said, he's been everywhere. A lot of people are coming to him asking, how do I handle my anxiety? How do I talk? You know, I can't sleep at night. What do I say to my kids, et cetera? And so we just created a simple podcast called Now for Tomorrow, these small, like, 5-6 minute, you know, just piece of advice and very practical for my dad. He tends to drift into the clouds, you know, a lot. But I really felt it was necessary to ground him and say, hey, like, you know, people are one, they're experiencing all the stress, but two, they have time on their hands. They're all stuck at home. What can they do to sort of, do today to prepare for tomorrow? And so that's what the podcast is. It's on Apple Podcasts and everywhere else. But I think it's, you know, it's more practical than the stuff he's, you know, sometimes associated with, which I felt was, like, really important right now, considering everything we're going through.
It's really good.
What is your Kobe story?
So my Kobe story, because I've been thinking about this a lot, and, you know, this is my life, which is, like, I'm such a huge sports fan. I've obviously been lucky to work with all these athletes, and so many of them have these, you know, I call it Kobeisms with Kobe. I used to joke it's Cow of Tom with Tom Brady. But, like, what are the things that I learned from watching them and that, you know, apply to, I'm never going to be Kobe Bryant or Tom Brady, but, like, you know, in my life and the things I'm dealing with. So one thing, you know, I've been thinking a lot about Kobe is, and I've told this story before, and I'm not going to name names, but he and I were once watching a basketball game. And a guy, I think it was on the Nets way back, you know, went 0-for-9 in the first half, and then he didn't shoot in the second half. So he ended the game 0-for-9. And I said to Kobe, man, like, I can't even believe he didn't take another shot. And Kobe said, you know what, man, I'd be 0-for-49 before I stopped shooting. You know, that is a guy psyching himself out. And he's like, you know, because I always believe the next shot is the one that's going to go in.
Sure.
And, you know, like, I was thinking about that recently, and I was like, you know, it's hard right now, like, getting up morning and being like, man, is this thing ever going to end? But, like, the analogy I use is, like, you know what? This could be the day. This could be the day that it starts to turn around and you still have to just get up. And, like, you know, I use a lot of that. And Kobe was the master of this, of, like, motivation and finding things. And he always used to say, control what you could control and just focus on that. And so that idea of, like, going, you know, it may have been, I don't know how many days have we been in quarantine, 35.
Too many. Yeah.
But maybe it's the 37th day where this thing starts to turn around, or it's the 47th day. or the 67th day, and I'm just going to keep on, we're going to keep on shooting. We're going to keep on getting up and finding a reason, because that's what Kobe would have done. And, you know, I find a lot of motivation. I miss the guy a lot, but, like, you know, he lives on just, like, in all of those ideas, especially in this city. And, you know, I even, like, thought the other day, you know, I'm going to shoot a text to Kobe right now, because, you know, that's the type of thing I would do in situations like this. He was that guy. He would just always find a way of, like, motivating you to get up and keep going at it.
Wayne Gretzky, Gotham, used to have a saying that just encapsulates the story you just told. Gretzky used to say, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you keep shooting, because if you don't, you can't make them. So that's a great story. And, hey, we always appreciate your time and coming on, man.
Thanks very much, Gotham.
I appreciate it. Really appreciate you guys listening to you right now. And so, yeah, thanks for having me.
Anytime, man. We appreciate you coming on. That's Gotham Chopra.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, he's worked with Brady, LeBron, and Kobe.
It's crazy. Crazy. Built a great career.
Yeah, there's a good book in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And what he said is true. I mean, you get up every day. You come up with a little plan for yourself, right? Like, what was your plan for yourself today, Ireland?
I did too much working out today. I
did
overextended
you?
Myself.
So what'd you do?
Well, I did three different workouts. I'm only supposed to do one a day, and I did all three because I was feeling kind of stiff. And now the end result's going to be I'm going to be more stiff tomorrow.
Oh, good. Congratulations
there you
on
go.
That. Yeah. I got up. I did my Spanish. I do it every day. I did my Spanish lessons. Then I did my yoga, and then I got ready for the show. I'm trying to do that every single day. That's the only I think you're like this. You thrive on consistency. It helps me to do the same thing every day, because habits are what help me get through the day. But it is a time when, you know, we don't know if it's going to last 37 days, or it's going to last 47 days, or whatever it is, or when we're going to be able to come back out and get back to some form of normal life. But in the meantime, you know, it's a time that you can read that book, or do that podcast, or listen to that podcast, or paint that painting, or write that screenplay, or any of those things. There's time to do all that stuff right now. And time is really valuable. And someday, you know, we might look back at this and say, hey, look what I was able to do during that terrible, terrible time in world history. Look what I was able to do. Try something right now. Try something today. Try something tomorrow. We don't know when we're out of it, but we're going to be here every day, and we're going to be as positive as we possibly can. And that means hoping for, praying for, designing ways that sports can in some way come back. We're starting to see inklings of how that might happen. And I am also, like Gotham, optimistic that we're going to see sports. I'm optimistic that we're going to see sports this year. I'm not throwing in the towel the way Bill Plaschke has. Plaschke just threw in the towel.
We never got to Costas. It sounds like Costas has thrown in the towel.
Yeah, I'll play Costas. He's a downer, but I'll play Costas coming up next. Originally, he was on the Lindsay. Wasn't he on the list of let's get this guy no matter what?
Well, I mean, I did talk to him probably like a month ago when this stuff was all kind of like still uncertain. And I actually requested him to talk about like the whole cheating thing. And he said that I think he had made his point and his stance on that pretty clear. And he was just kind of over talking about it, I guess. So now's probably a good time to reach out to him and see if he wants to talk about, you know, not playing baseball at all.
Well,
right?
we'll play some Costas next. He's a little bit depressing. I think if we brought him on, I could talk him up a little bit. I could cheer him up with some hope. This is all about hope, people. It's about hope. All right. Also, we're taking your voicemails today at 530-ESPN-710, 530-377-6710, phones are open, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. We're going to take some calls coming up, too. 5 o'clock Fast Track is coming up in about 40 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. Yeah. Driving home, or actually probably out there driving. We got a lot of people who are driving delivering packages and Postmates and Grubhub and what's the one you use, John?
We've used all those.
DoorDash.
DoorDash is the one we use most. We used DoorDash last night.
Amazon. Who else is driving? Instacart. All you guys out there, we appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate what all the grocery store workers are doing.
That you can live off of Amazon. The only thing that I'm having trouble with is grocery delivery. You can't get a slot. You've got to make other arrangements for groceries. But everything else you can get from Amazon.
We've had very good luck. I know some people have struggled with it. We've had really good luck with Instacart. If you wait till late at night to order, we've had good luck with Instacart.
I've had no luck at all with Instacart, but I haven't tried it late at night, so I'll try that next.
All right, so real quick, let's bring in Downer Bob Costas. Here is Downer Bob Costas talking about team sports in 2020.
I think there's a very good chance. None of us knows for sure. It's all guesswork. I think there's a very good chance that there will be no team sports at all in America in 2020. No continuation or conclusion of the hockey or basketball seasons, no baseball season, and no NFL season. Mm-hmm. I think college sports, college basketball, college football are definitely out because in many cases there won't be any students on campus at all, and these are not salaried employees. They have no union. They have no protections. Just can't do it. Is it possible that baseball could resume? Yeah. And every commissioner in every sport has to have contingency plans, best case scenarios, worst case, and everything in between.
Boo. Like,
wait a minute. He wasn't as negative as Plachke.
No, but he says it's very possible that there will be no team sports in 2020. Here's what he said, by the way, about baseball.
Baseball has put out the idea that maybe in July, maybe in August, they can gather players in Arizona and or Florida, that they can play some sort of abbreviated schedule, probably an expanded postseason, more teams in the playoffs, and use that to experiment with some of the things that they've been thinking about. The three-pitcher rule, a three-batter rule for relief pitchers, the electronic strike zone, putting guys on second base at the start of the 11th inning to get things over with more quickly, maybe getting extra games in by playing doubleheaders and having the doubleheader games each go seven innings. I think baseball fans, if they play, and obviously they're going to play without fans if it happens, it'll just be for television, anything short of running the bases backwards, they'd accept on an experimental basis, because if you're going to try stuff out, now is the time. It's the best possible time.
I agree with Bob. I am not a traditionalist for this year. All traditions out.
Yeah, I think you can try anything. And if we get any baseball at all, I think people are going to be happy, so they won't care if you try any crazy stuff.
Here's one more thing from Bob. What about the people around the team other than players?
Whether they can safely bring everybody together. You know, it isn't just the players or the umpires and everybody that they'd have to quarantine. What about the guy who picks up the towels? What about the bus driver? What about the guy who turns on the lights? Some of these guys are going to get hurt. Guys will have to be called up from AAA. Are AAA A guys going to be able to play games? You're going to quarantine them while they're not playing just in case they have to be called upon? There's a lot of unanticipated consequences here, some that I haven't thought of and you haven't thought of, but more pitfalls than people want to acknowledge before any of these plans could possibly come off safely.
So what do you think? What on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most downery, where does Bob rank?
5.
I think he's more like a 7.5.
I think there's
scale.
A chance he's right, but there's also a chance he's wrong. And there are ways to address all the things he talked about.
Yeah.
You're going to cut down the number of people who are going to be allowed at these games.
Yeah.
To very small.
Yep.
And if, for example, he talked about clubhouse staff. All right. So you limit the amount of clubhouse staff to 2 or 3 people in each clubhouse, and you get those guys tested. He said, you're going to need guys in case people get hurt from AAA. Well, you expand the rosters to 35, like they do in September when they let the rosters go to 40. You just expand the rosters to 35, and that way if somebody gets hurt, then you already have somebody who's been tested that's ready to come up. There are ways to deal with this. You're going to have to, and this is the key to the whole thing, you're going to have to allow for speed bumps. You're going to have to allow for things to go wrong. And
right, but even like Dan Straley said, in South Korea, if one person tests positive, everybody goes home.
Yeah.
But if one person showed up with a fever of 99, everyone went home.
But they're going to still try and open the baseball season over there. So on May 4th. So let's see how they do. Yeah, let's see how they do. You know, that's going to be the most interesting lab experiment for us in America about sports, is whether it be baseball in South Korea or basketball in China.
Yep.
How those leagues try to pull this off. If they get it done and play for a month, then I think then all of a sudden our people
opens the way. Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, let's get a couple of calls in, huh?
Yeah, now do we have to break, Funch, or do we just keep going?
No, keep going.
Keep going. That's right. Hell with breaks.
All right, so Dave from Ventura is online. I think Dave gave us a golf update yesterday. Dave, did you get back out there today?
Yeah, I had to work today, John. But yesterday, I managed to play yesterday, but I actually worked today. I was calling you guys back just to give you some numbers of what we looked at yesterday.
Yeah.
And what we're probably looking at today. We had almost 280 rounds of golf played yesterday. If you guys do the math on that, I mean, that's like a foursome every, you know, 8 to 10 minutes. There were people standing out there in the dark yesterday morning at 5:45. And I mean,
what course was that, Dave?
That's at Sterling Hills, Mace. But yeah, I mean, just absolutely. And today's numbers are going to match what we saw yesterday. By the time I left out there about 3:30, and again, we were right on track to doing what we were doing yesterday. So,
hey, Dave, are people respecting the social distancing rules? Like Mason brought up the suggestion that if you hit your ball, you know, way left or way right into either somebody's yard or into another group coming up the other way, you might just have to let it go.
Yeah, my mom lives on a golf course in Palm Desert, and they opened the courses in Riverside County. She lives in the Coachella Valley. And guys will hit a ball that will land on her patio. And that was my hesitation. It's like, well, you can't really come up and get the ball. My mom probably shouldn't be handling the ball at all. She's 70, I don't know, 79 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm just ballparking it. she's in her late 70s. But, I mean, that's like one of the things I thought about. Are guys respecting all of the rules that are out there?
Yeah, because what we're doing, Mesa, is that we're going when they come down to the first tee to check in. The first thing we go over with them is that, hey, in fact, it happened a couple times yesterday. The health department was out there kind of snooping around yesterday, checking things out. But we remind them that, hey, within your group, you've got to maintain that 6-foot social distancing thing amongst yourselves. And then foursomes, we have a par 3 out there of the third hole, and sometimes it'll stack up a little bit on that tee, and we reminded them that, hey, if you get out there and there's a group out on that same tee, you got to give them 30 feet. You can't get any closer than 30 feet in the group in front of you. And then we throw the bomb at them going, hey, if you don't abide by these rules, we've got the health department kind of snooping, and they'll shut us back down again. So everybody's been really good yesterday and today. They've gone along with the program, and people are just happy to be back outside again, and you know, in the fresh air and doing stuff that they love. It's so neat to see some of the smiles on some of these guys.
Yeah, I think and by the way, golf, Dave, as you know, is a billion-dollar business just in California alone. So, yeah. You know, it's getting some people back to work, too. Well, thank you for that update, Dave. We appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Can I say one more thing, guys?
Yeah.
About 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with a disease, cystic fibrosis, and I literally was bedridden for 4 years after I diagnosed with this stuff. And I didn't get to mention to you guys yesterday. I've listened to you guys all the way back when you were down in San Diego on 690. You guys led the day off, I think, at that time, and then Rome, and then Hacksaw was on in the afternoon. And I tell you, the 4 years that I was bedridden, the one thing I looked forward to every day was flipping you guys on and listening to you. You put a smile on my face when it was just dark in my life and stuff, and I really
I love you guys.
Dave, that is very nice of you to say.
I've always got an invitation for, I know, Mace, you don't play much golf, but for John, you guys want to come up play golf? I will fix it up. You guys will be my guest. Lunch, the whole nine yards up here. So,
well, Dave, let's hope one day soon I get to take you up on that. And thank you for those very nice sentiments. That obviously makes us feel great. And glad you're healthy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling in. We've been on the air a long time.
A long time.
Boy, people are still responding to your Culture Pop podcast. I'm getting like 5 to 10 tweets an hour on that thing.
Yeah, it's at stevemason.com. By the way, a lot of people, I thought in that podcast, there was stuff that I asked you that I have never asked you before. Stuff I've been curious about, but stuff I've never asked you.
Yeah, and probably stuff I've never talked about publicly. So if you want to get in on the first floor of the Mason and Ireland relationship, go to stevemason.com. Hey, Alex from Torrance is on line 4. Hey, Alex, you're on 710 ESPN. What are you doing?
What's going on, fellas?
All's good, man.
John, I really appreciate you giving my Chargers the love on the jerseys and everything, man.
Alex, I think your team has the best uniforms in the NFL. I don't even know who's second.
And by the way, I think they're totally fine.
Fine. But you see the way you say fine, though, Mason? It's like, fine. Like, nah, you know? But the
well,
best
it's
just
the,
got
it's
better.
It's the Chargers, man. It's just the Chargers.
I know. And I know every time I come on here, I ride on you that the Chargers are going to be better than the Rams in the future just because the future is more brighter for the Chargers, in my opinion.
Tyrod Taylor. I'm not sure, man.
The Rams with their one draft pick in the next 40 years.
Hey, Alex, do you want the Chargers to take a quarterback with that sixth pick?
So this is what I was. So we just got the best jerseys, you know, obviously in the game now. And then why don't we just
that doesn't count in the records, by the way. That doesn't count in the standings.
Yeah, Mason's team has a phallic symbol for a logo, and then they were in Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I know. And then there's a dead like lamb on the Rams helmet now, so I don't know what that calculates to. But whatever. Anyways. I say we keep the train rolling and we get our new franchise quarterback, whoever that may be. I'll be happy with whoever. I don't think, in my opinion, Tyrod's the answer. I think we need to get a big pick this week with either Herbert or Tua. So, but that's my opinion on that. And I think
you're getting
rolling.
Herbert. I don't think you're getting Tua.
Wait a minute, Mace. Do you think Tua's going before that?
I think so. I think Miami is going to get Tua.
But I think the cards are in the Chargers' hands. They could trade with Detroit, I think, like that. And
I actually think Miami, to make sure that they get Tua, I think Miami's going to trade up to 3. And then the Chargers get Herbert.
But don't
which, would be, which would be
look
fine.
Like fools then?
Say one more time.
Don't you think the Dolphins would look like fools then? Because then, I mean, you're already in a position to get them unless they honestly think the Chargers would.
I think they. I think the Chargers would be looking to trade up to 3. I absolutely think they would trade up for Tua.
You don't think
so? The Dolphins better do it.
And the Dolphins, by the way, the Dolphins, Alex, have 25 draft picks in the next 2 years. 25.
So they got a really good chance. The Rams.
All right. Well, hey, Alex, even if you don't get a quarterback, just know you'll be the best-looking team, the best-dressed team in the NFL next year, no matter what.
Hey, and you know what? We'd win a pageant show. So at least
there you go.
You'll win a pageant. That's the best you're going to hope for. You win the uniform pageant.
Thanks, Alex. Stay safe, man.
Thanks, Alex.
Guys, have a great day.
Yep, you too. Yeah, I think their uniforms are fine.
They're the best uniforms in the league. And they have six
hate
different combinations.
Just hate them.
That was a very good day for the Chargers. Let's put it.
Yeah,
that
they're
way.
They're just renters.
Hey,
man.
Funch,
renters.
whatever voicemails we got there, play one of them.
ESPN 710 Los Angeles Sports.
Oh, you know what? I think we should use that one, Funch. Cut that one up. I think we should absolutely use that one. Play it one more time.
ESPN 710 Los Angeles Sports.
Okay,
I
so
love
hey,
that.
We should try it. ESPN 710 Los Angeles Sports.
Yeah, I think that rolls right up. Funch, cut that one up. I want to.
Where
hear
does
that
he wait? Funch, play one more time. Where does he drop? Does he drop a 710 in there? Play one more time.
ESPN 710, Los Angeles.
Sports.
Yeah, and he says sports like hacksaw.
Yeah, sports. I like the way it just stops him. Sports. I like that one. Funch, cut that one up. I want to hear that coming back
you
from breaks. That's a winner.
Tell me, Cardiff by the Sea, the ladies' line is open. Slee was like a young hacksaw. Isn't he?
Well, he does take himself very seriously.
Yeah, I think that, we should call him a young hacksaw. He's like Lee. He just made tell a Raider fan to stick a gun in his mouth. You know, you never know.
I don't know if it's that bad. Yeah, have we put in a request for Bill Plaschke?
Yep, did that about a half hour ago.
Okay.
Bill will come on.
Is Mondo from Santa Barbara still on the line?
No, he dropped.
He dropped. Okay. Sorry, Mondo.
We tried.
Too bad for you. All right, get a quick break in. Coming back, 877-710-ESPN. Plus, voicemail line is open. You just heard Funch. I want to come back from this next commercial break with that brand new jingle that we're going to start using. And if you've got a jingle for the show in particular,
ESPN 710, Los Angeles.
Sports. 530 ESPN 710. That's 530-377-6710. I think we should build up a library of jingles, enough of them so that we can use them to come back from commercial breaks during quarantine time. We call these
excellent.
Our quarantine jingles. 530 ESPN 710. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
ESPN 710, Los Angeles Sports.
There you go. That's a jingle. That's what I'm talking about.
Is it the same guy singing who says sports, or is it two different people?
Oh, man, is that a duo? That would be really impressive if that was a duo.
All right, I'll sing. You just do the sports. Ready?
Okay. Yep.
ESPN 710, Los Angeles.
Sports.
We are idiots.
We need to get, like, some music behind it.
Oh,
I'll
we
whip
were doing,
something up.
Lindsay and I were talking about, John, you were never a music DJ.
No, just in college. That was it.
So do you know what hitting the post means?
Yeah.
So that was a big game when we were DJs, and it was such a big deal to hit the post. It was so competitive.
Yeah, you talk right up until the vocal starts.
So Lindsay pulled a song. Lindsay, do you still have that song?
Yeah, give me about 1 minute.
Okay. So she pulled a song that would have played during my DJ days.
Okay.
And I want to see if I can hit the post. I've not done this in a very long time, but I have a really good memory of songs that played because I tried to hit the post so many times on songs.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way I'm going to do this is with my old station, which was 93 QWRQN. I don't think I could have hit a post with 710 ESPN.
Okay.
So I'm going to use 93
QWRQN. What song did you pick?
There's a particularly, like, really, really good song for hitting the post, doing such things.
It's Huey Lewis in the News. Is it The Power of Love?
Yes.
Huey songs were easy to hit the post. They were all very, very standard. So, okay. Lindsay, do you have it?
I just sent it to Funch.
I got the song.
All right, here we go. Give it a shot.
Awesome. 93QWRQN, good morning. Toledo, going to be a sunny one still. A little spring chill, but a high of 62 degrees. Right now, caller 10 gets a pair of tickets to see Back to the Future at the Franklin Park Cinemas. Huey Lewis in the News right now, theme song from Back to the Future here on 93QWRQN.
Oh, that was perfect.
That was almost perfect. The only thing is you never said the name of the song. Is that okay?
I said, I think it's okay. Here's the theme song from, did I say here's the theme song from Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I think you're okay on that. Because that was the power. Everybody knew that song by that point.
That was excellent.
Do you think that you could give it a shot?
I could try. I don't know if I Mason came very close to hitting it. You want to try it, Funches? Good morning, Southern California. It's 78 degrees in Redondo Beach, 80 in Van Nuys, 85 degrees in Palm Springs, 87 in Indio. Another hot summer day around Southern California and the Southland. Here's Huey Lewis, the power of love on 93 KHJ.
That's very good, man. That is very good.
It's hard.
You had it, man. And I know the temperature everywhere after that one. Everywhere.
Yeah, Southern California is a very spread out area.
Yeah, what I think it was 32 seconds is the intro on that song.
It's like you got to just keep like talking and talking until the buildup is just about to let go.
Yep, and then you nail it.
It's an art form, for sure.
We used to compete all the time on that.
My cousin used to be a morning DJ in Burlington, Vermont, and he was really good at that. I only did it. The only time I did music was when I was at UCLA doing the campus station. So that's you're right. That's an easy song because it has a good build up.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember the songs that were, you know, songs that were heavily played. We called them powers, A's or powers. And I still remember the powers the night I went on the air as a DJ for the first time. It was the Cars, You Might Think, Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It was Lionel Richie, Hello. Those are the three that I can remember. That were powers that night, and they played every hour and 20 minutes, which I think is still what Kiss FM basically does.
Right,
Kiss FM, whatever the number one song is, plays
probably
an hour.
If we were auditioning, those would be pretty good auditions. We did okay.
They would not be bad. Now, what I don't think they do is I don't think they do it on the alternative stations. Like I don't think K-Rock they nail vocals. What's the other Alt 93? What's Alt 98.7?
I don't know.
Is the other one? Is that the one with Brickhead in the morning? What's the guy in the morning on that station?
Where's Stryker? Is Stryker at K-Rock now in the mornings?
Brickhead.
K-Rock has Stryker in the morning, and 98.7 has got Brickhead in the mornings.
I don't think that's his name.
His name is Madman. No, his name is Woody. The Woody Show.
Wait a minute. How do you confuse Woody with Brickhead?
I don't know. You know, morning DJs all have funny names. The Woody Show.
Did you have a funny name?
We had a Q Morning. It was the Q Morning Zoo.
No, I mean, like, did you have like a funny DJ name though when you were doing music?
You were Mason in the morning, right?
I was Mason in the morning. Yeah. Mason in the morning. Then we went to the Q Morning Zoo. We had a guy that went out and did stunts for us. We called him Monkey Boy.
What kind of stunts did he do?
I'll tell you one. So this was a ridiculous one. My brother Travis was Monkey Boy for a long time. We always had a Monkey Boy. So we decided on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we were going to bring a live turkey into the studio. And we would let people vote on whether or not we should kill that turkey for Christmas and have it as Christmas or as Thanksgiving dinner. So I decided, now it would have been easy to just do the bit and do it with sound effects of a turkey in the background. But I decided, no, I wanted an actual turkey in the studio. So Monkey Boy Travis had to drive out to the country, get a big cage with a big, gigantic turkey, drag it in. Turkeys are absolutely filthy animals, absolutely filthy. And he was so pissed off afterwards because he could not get the turkey smell out of his car to save his life. And by the way, people voted. It was a little bit rigged. I was never actually going to eat that turkey for Thanksgiving Day. But all day long, we took phone calls about whether or not, and the turkey was making noise. It was a great bit. We did so many stupid bits, but we always had a Monkey Boy on the show. It was a little bit like when we had Singer. Singer was really, I mean, we never called him Monkey Boy. But he was basically going out on the streets.
Well, the original we had, since I was in San Diego, we had Matt Simon as Little Charger Boy.
That's right, Little Charger Boy.
Stuff,
yeah.
Which was fun. And then Matt immediately left us and went on The Real World. Do you remember that?
That's right. That's right. We could use a Monkey Boy. We don't have a Monkey Boy.
I don't know if we could get away with it in 2020.
Somebody like we go out and do stunts for us? Maybe
no. Like we sent Singer to pound on Albert Bell's door and wake him up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Could we get away with that now?
Why the hell not? Why couldn't we do stuff like that? Why couldn't we steal stuff from Stern? Send somebody to ask a really stupid question at a press conference.
Well, Kimmel does that now with Guillermo.
You remember the famous, this is one of my famous favorite stories, is the Tommy Lasorda doing an interview and Jerry Royce was messing with him. Do you know what story I'm talking about?
The PNS network?
The PNS network. Tommy's doing an interview and everybody's got their microphones around. It's a gaggle, you know, like you normally see.
So the shot you see on TV is Lasorda's face with like 10 or 11 microphones in front of them, like a 2, a 4, a 7, a 9, all, you know, the normal shot.
And all of a sudden, this microphone comes in, and it says KPNS. And it is a phallus, for lack of a better term.
And in the middle of all these microphones.
And this phallus is up in Tommy's face, along with all of the other microphones. I wish I had that on video. I would love to see what that looked like. And I don't know if Tommy ever knew that they had one of those sticking in his face.
Well, they,
or
you
not.
Know, Jerry Royce and Jay Johnstone used to constantly play practical jokes on Lasorda, like all the time. So one time Lasorda, like somebody was late, but it was a star player, and so somebody he couldn't call out in front of the team.
Yep.
But somebody was like 5 minutes late for a spring training bus. So Lasorda stands up and just MFs the whole bus and goes,
yep,
if you're going to be a professional organization, you got to be 5 minutes early. You can't be 5 minutes late. And tomorrow, if anybody is not here at 9 a.m. when this bus is rolling, we're leaving your ass in Vero Beach. This is unprofessional, and it's ridiculous. And Lasorda storms off the bus. So the next day, Royce and Johnstone tie a rope around his door in Vero Beach to a tree so he can't open the door from the inside. So Lasorda, he's trying to open his door. You know, he always used to go down to eat breakfast at about 8:15 and can't get his door open. So he goes and picks up his phone to call somebody to say the door is stuck.
Yeah.
But Royce and Johnstone had unscrewed the handset of his phone and taken the microphone out of it. So the woman would answer the phone. Hello, Vero Beach. Yeah. This is Tommy Lasorda. Hello, Vero Beach. Is anyone there? This is Tommy Lasorda. I can't get out of my room. Hello, hello. Click. And Johnstone stood outside the door. And anybody who tried to let Lasorda out, because Lasorda was screaming for help, he didn't do it. So they stayed out there till 8:59. And like it got to be like 9:01, and they undid the rope.
Yeah,
and Lasorda went and got on the bus, and nobody said a word to him.
It was so classic.
They would
so
mess
classic
with him every single time.
And Tommy took things very, very seriously.
Yeah, he took their pants and ran them up the flagpole, so those guys had no pants to wear home from that road trip.
All right, coming up next for you is 5 o'clock Fast Track, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.